I have given that as a link in my email, Celebrating True Womanhood, First Things First. And we discussed all of those points last week, so I'm not going to go into the discussion. For those of you who missed, you can look at the summary there about why we are committing to that as a, those points as a contract. So we will just repeat, we will just discuss the points in mold. So I am going to hear with an open mind. All of us are going to hear with an open mind with what is being shared on the call, the part of the seminar, or also if somebody else is sharing something. We will not allow our prejudices, our past prejudices and past conditioning to block us from learning new information or to block us from viewing old information in a new way. Second point was, from acceptance comes transformation. So I accept my conditioning and I accept where I stand, and from there I'm going to take steps to achieve the goal. So because from acceptance comes transformation, I'm only competing with myself, my own last victory, not competing with anybody else here. I'm only competing with my own self, my own last victory, so that I can become more and more in sync with my unique psychophysical nature and be of greater service to Lord Sri Krishna. And I will work only on myself without having the expectation that someone else will change. And we have this point because we will be discussing a lot of points about how society should be and how the husband behaves to the wife and how the society protects the woman and all those things. Now, we cannot change the society if they're not following the rules. So we are only going to work on ourselves without having any expectation that someone else will change, because we are here to please Lord Sri Krishna. And I guess we are all clear about this. Call is not a place for unabated male bashing, in-laws bashing, and feminists. Thank you very much. Today we will start reading, we will discuss appreciating the gender differences between men and women. Now, it seems like a very lame and mundane topic, and I would be attending a seminar. Somebody told me that the next session is about understanding gender differences. I would be like, okay, yeah, I get it. Men are stronger, and I get it that, you know, women are more emotional, men are more rational, women think from this part of the brain, men think from this part of the brain. So what is new in that? Yeah, there is something new we're going to offer today. We will see it in a Krishna conscious perspective. We've all read books like, a lot of us would have read, Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus. Women can't read maps, men can't cook and take care of babies, and so many things. Yeah, we have read those books, we have that information, but today we are going to look at the same information again, but from a Krishna conscious perspective. And to do that, I did research this topic. I read at least two books, and I have linked those in the sublinks. So within appreciating gender differences, we're going to see it from the aspect of psychophysiology, social behavior and abilities, and emotions. And to be able to come up with all of these things, see all the content that you would see in the sublinks that I have put there. So you all have the link CTW, Appreciating Gender Differences. When you open that page up in the morning, that page was under construction, that post was under construction, but I was working through till 11:15. So we have all those points there. So you can open that up and you'll see CTW, Appreciating Gender Differences Through Physiology, Social Behavior and Abilities, and Emotions. And there are references on those pages of where that information is coming from. Those are not my own words. I'm not so smart. These are from different books. So there's one of them, one of the books I did do extensive reading on was The Psychology of Woman by Helen Deutsch. And she is, I know some of you don't like Sigmund Freud, one of the philosophers or psychologists from Europe. But she is a disciple of Sigmund Freud. So one of the areas where we did research from was The Psychology of Woman by Helen Deutsch. That was one of the first books that came about talking that we can't just have the same... Like, we can't, whatever studies we do on men, psychological studies we do on men, cannot be applied to women because women are different from men. And there are a lot of nice chapters in that book. Some of them We as devotees will not agree with, so we skip those parts, but we take their studies because those make sense. The second book I researched from was A Psychology of Women, a handbook of issues and theories that is open. I mean, both of these books are freely available online in ebook format if you go to openlibrary.org, but I was lucky enough to get copies from the Sammamish Library. And then there are two wiki links that I looked at, which are Sex Differences in Human Psychology. And I have that link there, and y'all can read it, read all of those at your leisure. And there are Sex Differences in Human Physiology, how the body and the, all those things are constructed differently. And then there's a lot of studies on emotions, which were there in all those four links, plus two more links, which I have, how emotions change during the menstrual cycle. And that was from womenshealth.about.com and another page, Dr. Christina Hebert. She is considered very good in this field. So we have all of these different references in place. So we will begin with appreciating gender differences from the physiological standpoint. And for all of those who are not on mute, please put yourself on mute. We will have time for discussion. I don't think I can finish all of these things today because I also want to give enough time for discussion, though I would love to. But it's going to be hard. And once we go through all of these different points, appreciating gender differences amongst men and women, we will also discuss, you know, that's where we are different. So one thing is we will look at these gender differences from the eyes of being a devotee, being a spirit soul, serving Krishna. And then we will also discuss how these differences in physiology affect decision making. And we will see these from examples in Shastra of Sita Devi and Sati, like Lord Shiva and Sati Devi, and many, many other examples, Prithu and Archi, Mandodari and Ravana, and many, many such Shastric examples. And I don't have a comprehensive list of that, so I'm sure you would also be able to come up with some examples yourself for discussion. So I think this topic might slip to the next week also, but we'll see how it goes. So the first thing is, which we all know, is that we have been all created by Lord Shri Krishna. And Lord Shri Krishna created this entire system with the secondary creator being a Brahma. And the purpose of the creation was what? To give us a place so that, I mean, all those people that I heard on this call have done DYS. So we are all in agreement, and that's what we discussed last time, that we're also all in agreement that I am spirit soul, part and parcel of Lord Shri Krishna, and my duty is to serve him, and he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, we all know that we were all in Goloka Vrindavan, and a fine day we decided to be separate and to enjoy separately from Krishna. And for that particular reason, we were put in this material world so that we could fulfill our propensities of being a mini-controller, mini-enjoyer, mini-proprietor, mini, you know, all those mini-Krishnas that we wanted to be. So we all got this facility to come here, and then based on our propensities for enjoyment, we were given a certain type of body. So Lord Brahma created 8,400,000 species for enjoyment, and then within each of those species there was a male and a female, most of the species there was male and female, not all of them. And so based on our desires for enjoyment, we were given a particular type of body. And also apart from the species and all these different body forms of male and female that were given, there was also a societal system that was created about the different interactions and the different types of interactions between the different people. And this entire society system and these entire bodies, all of these things, were created so that we could correct our propensity and go back to Krishna. Now, having seen that, you know, so it's a very, very, like, the more I studied this topic about gender differences, which I myself considered as boring many years before, the more I studied this topic, I just came to appreciate that Lord Krishna is supremely wonderful, and understanding gender differences is a great way to appreciate his creation and the thought behind it as well. And we will come to see that, how men and women have been created so differently, be it their physiology or their social behavior, their abilities, their ability to experience emotions, express emotions, etc., 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 and how they complement each other, how they complete each other, so that the society varnashram functions can happen nicely. So the next topic after we do gender differences is to understand why are women considered less intelligent, or by Shastra, and at the same time Shastra also says a good wife means good intelligence. And after we cover that, we will also see varnashram duties for men and women, and to, for us to be able to understand the diametrically opposite views of Shastra on right from women being considered less intelligent to a good wife means good intelligence. You know, for us to be able to understand that, we have to understand, you know, these gender differences based on physiology, social behavior, abilities, emotions, and how they are tied to our roles, and how if we don't stick to our roles, all the gender differences can be a handicap, but if we stick to our roles, those gender differences actually make us powerful in our role. All this sounds like theory until we get into the details. So let's go to physiology first. We know a lot of these things. Like if you look at the link appreciating gender differences in physiology, so the size, weight, and body shape, definitely men are. We can see it all around us, and even we can see it even in most of the, generally in most of the animal species also, that men weigh more, are taller on an average, but the women, the difference in the structure, one major difference in the structure is that women have a larger hip section than men for giving birth to infants with skull, large skulls, because usually the head comes out first. So there's a difference, right? Krishna has created that particular difference, or Brahma, the secondary creator, has created that difference. Understanding the role that a person in that woman's body would undertake has been designed, so that woman's body has been designed to give birth. And then even strength, power, and muscle mass, females have less total muscle mass than men. Males are much stronger than females. So males were designed to give protection to the females. And then even the skeleton, again there's discussion about the female pelvis and the male pelvis, and also about the strength, that males have denser, stronger bones, tendons and ligaments. So all this is from Wikipedia link for physiology, a lot of it, and some of it is from the other two books that I read. Now the respiratory system also, males tend to have a 56% greater lung volume per body mass than women, which shows that that body, a person in a male's body, is more equipped, the soul in a male's body is more equipped to do physically intensive functions than women. So the male body is designed for the male to be able to do his role properly. And then of course there is some differences in skin and hair. And then there is differences in sensory systems, which I found very interesting. So the women are more sensitive to smell and have more pain receptors on their body. And even Shastras say that women cannot take to austerity, cannot do much austerity. It's hard for the women. And women, and then you see scientific studies saying that too, that women are more sensitive to smell and they have more pain receptors on their body. And in addition to defined diseases and syndromes, common everyday pains appear to overburden women more than men. And therefore studies consistently report that women, you know, women report more pain, more longer lasting pain, wider ranging pain. And then also dysmenorrhea, which is painful periods, also cause women to experience more musculoskeletal pains. Now, I found this thing very interesting, that women are more sensitive to smell and have more pain receptors on their body. And then another study, it also said that women are, it's slipping my mind, but it indicated that the woman's body was designed, if the woman could take to a lot of, like women's, usually, I mean, even based on the input that you all have, all most of you given to me in your form, what you cherish most about being a woman, most of you have said that is said about the nurturing nature of a woman is what you cherish more. Also, the nature of being a woman is what you cherish more, of having children and being a woman. Now, if you look at a woman's body, has been designed in such a way so that she's more sensitive to things, body, to cold, to pain receptors on their body, to heat, cold, and all those things. And why is it like that? Because if she was not sensitive to that, then she would not be able to understand what the children are feeling in that moment. Men are not tuned to that much, so they are not able to understand how it would affect the children. But because women themselves experience those things more strongly than men, their bodies are made like that, they are able to do their child-rearing function more properly. Because they can experience the heat and cold, they can experience the pain, the swells and all those things, so they naturally understand that the children are also experiencing that, and they then they do the things that are necessary to make their children and themselves comfortable. I found this very, very interesting. And then there were some studies, which is like a lot of studies on brain and nervous system. Now, this is something that the study says, that human males on an average have larger brains than females. And there are many, many studies that say that. But female brains are more compact than male brains in that though smaller, they're more densely packed with neurons, particularly in the region responsible for language. Now, there are many studies that measure intelligence, and they couldn't come up to a conclusion whether women were more intelligent or men, because they thought that the studies were biased based on whether the men were conducting the study or the women were conducting the study, like which psychologists were conducting the study. And then some of them also argued that brain-to-body size ratio is what would define intelligence. Or some of them said that, and then for brain-to-body size ratio would be the same for men and women. And then some of the people said that, well, it also depends upon what kind of exposure that person has got, what kind of opportunities that person has got. So, but definitely they all came to the conclusion that men's brain on an average are 10 to 15% heavier and larger than women's brain. But larger brain doesn't necessarily mean larger intelligence. But then why do Shastras say that women are less intelligent? That we will come to later on, after we finish these different things. Now, auditory and language-related regions. I found this also very interesting. Again, the design of the body is made perfectly for the role that that person has to take in that body. So the auditory and language-related regions in the left hemisphere of the brain are more proportionately expanded in females versus in males. But those things that relate to visual and visual-spatial association are stronger and larger in males. Now, the left brain is more this thing for analytical thought, logic, language, science, and math. And the right brain is more about holistic thought, intuition, creativity, art, and music. So women tend to use both parts of the brain when they do decision making, when they're reading something or they're writing something or doing anything. But men seem to be more systematic and they're more like reason-oriented, analytical, and strategic, control-oriented, based on logic. But women don't make decisions like that. Women use both sides of the brain. So therefore, it's more holistic thought that they come up with. And also, there were some studies, and there are some images there, which you see about speech and language, how women, during reading also, they tend to use both parts of the brain. So they just don't see it from a logical or a rational point of view, but they also see it from all the colorful, from the colorful worldly standpoint also. Then also memory storage and spatial mapping. So now the hippocampus, now the different studies said different things, but in general the conclusion that is there is that the area that is crucial for memory storage is larger in women than in men. And it's also said that women tend to remember more. You will see that in the third part of the presentation today, because women tend to experience emotions more and their memories are tied to their emotions, and therefore they are able to remember much better than men. Then, from the physiological point of view, you have this particular region in the brain, the amygdala, and it responds to emotionally arousing information, response to the environment and reactions with stress. So the male. Now, there are three different studies of three different, like, you know, we will see it in, right from the brain structure to the hormonal study to everything, to how men and women respond differently to emotions, and we will do that when we reach to the third part of the presentation, which is how they respond to emotions. Now, there's also a lot of studies on, you know, let's go into the second part of the second link, which is social behavior and abilities. So CTW, appreciating gender differences, social behavior and abilities. If you look at that, so women in verbal abilities, as we've already seen that the brain has also been made like that, that women show a higher performance levels on tests of verbal fluency. And women tend to use both sides of the brain when they're communicating. They're not just communicating information, they're communicating emotion along with it. So it's more impactful, and it conveys much more than what a man's communication would. And there's more, they show higher performance levels on tests of verbal fluency. This is in Wikipedia. And this difference is also because how the brain development, now that's another interesting study that I read about in various, in all the reference works that I have stated over there. The brain development, the fetal brain development is also different in men and women, because of which different parts of the brain grow in a different way for girls and boys. Also, mathematical attitudes and effects, we could not come up to a conclusion. And they said there was a very small difference, and they also said that it could be, like, because usually people want to believe that boys are more mathematical than girls, but a lot of people did a lot of studies, and the results were skewed based on who was conducting the study. Men tended to have a bias that boys were smarter in math, and when women conducted the studies, they tended to have that bias. And they also said that it could be because how parents encourage their children, where parents could consider a son's mathematical achievement as being a natural skill, while a daughter's mathematical achievement was something that she studied hard for. And then, you know, based on how parents saw and encouraged and viewed their children, it could change the skill level of the child. So, therefore, there's no conclusion on that. And then there's a lot of conclusion on influenceability and conformity. Then there were about 30 or 40 studies that I read about in... I think there were 30 studies in that, in the book, A Psychology of Women, A Handbook of Issues and Theories. And in that, they finally came to, like, so they had, all of these studies had, like, they conducted studies on many different men and women. And all of these studies came to a conclusion. And then this particular book came up with a median or a mean of all the different studies and their conclusion and the mean. What they came up with was that women conform more in one-on-one situations. They may be more prone to peer pressure. They may not conform in impersonal situations where they don't know anybody. But if they know somebody, they conform more prone to peer pressure, but not men. This is what they said. And aggression, naturally, males were more aggressive across race, culture, country, age, and even species. And then regarding small group behavior, so men performed better in tasks that required task-oriented behavior, where they just had to do the task. Men were better than women. But women performed better in those tasks that required them to interact with other members of the group, come to a conclusion, come to a decision together and empower the group and everything. Women had an interactive style and a democratic style of leadership that helped them perform better, and it helped increase group productivity. So that's why you see that, you know, a lot of people are concerned that there are not many women in management positions, because all these studies make them recognize that women have a more democratic style of leadership rather than the men tend to have a more autocratic manner, and both are needed, but it's not definitely nice if women are not there in leadership positions, because we need the way they approach and come to solutions and conclusions, we also need that. Now, with respect to nonverbal communication, women were much better and much adept to interpret nonverbal communication. And literature of hundreds of studies that women occupy a more nonverbally conscious, positive, and interpersonally engaged world than men do. So men's world is more systemized, so to speak. Whereas women's world is systemized, but it's also more nonverbally conscious, positive, and very interpersonally engaged with other people. And women also make a greater effort. You know, there are more women in the group, then women make a greater effort that everyone around them feels comfortable as compared to men. So that's something that comes naturally for a woman. Now, this is also This is again based on physiology and psychology, again something at the physical level, not at the spirit soul level. The spirit occupies this woman's body, which is equipped to understand nonverbal communication better and respond better to that. And this is again something that helps in taking care of the family, taking care of the child, which men are not able to do very well because of the types of bodies they are in, that spirit soul is in. The body limits their function, not able to do it. It's not that they don't want to do it, but the type of body the spirit soul occupies when it's in a man's body limits their functions. In fact, any spirit soul occupying any type of body, the functions of the spirit soul are dormant in a living entity. When it occupies a body, the spirit soul cannot express itself fully, because we are limited by the bodies we are given. So men's bodies are limited by certain things that they don't have, whereas women's bodies are limited by certain things they don't have, but each one of them have their special area of contribution or something that they're good at based on the bodies that have been given to them. And based on the bodies, you tend to get a psychophysical nature. Now, women are better at understanding and tracking relationships and reading others' emotional states. And because it helps in their tasks, so they're made like that, and then it helps them in their task for caring for children and also social networking. And women also perform better in tests involving emotional interpretation and understanding facial expressions and empathy. And also in interspecies empathy, you know, experiencing the emotions of other species. Females have a higher level of empathy with non-human animals than males do. Males don't understand the emotions of animals as much as females do, and they have a greater empathy. Are you all with me? Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Okay, I don't want to make this like a one-man show, one-woman show here, where I just keep talking and everyone listens. I'll take a break. I want to hear if anyone has any comments or something they would like to add in relation to what has been discussed already, something that you have heard that contradicts what we have discussed. Please share, because this is about, you know, everyone getting a chance to express themselves and share what they know, because we all know a lot of things that would be beneficial for the group. Would anyone like to share anything?
And this is Anmira Sakhi Mataji here. Hare Krishna.
Yes,
Mataji. Mataji, I really want to appreciate you. You have done so much of hard work. I wish, you know, we get, all of us will be benefited so much from all your studies. So I really want to congratulate you.
Oh, thank you so much, Anmira. Anyone wants to share anything apart from congratulating me? I like being congratulated. Thank you, Anuradha Sakhi. But any other point you would like to share?
I will think about it. I'm just digesting what you said.
Sure. And that's why I have it on the blog, so that you all can keep referring to it, reading it at your... anyone? Anything you would like to add to all of this? All right, looks like everyone is either very bored, or they are distracted, or they really don't have anything to add, and they are waiting for the middle of the sandwich, which is about appreciating gender differences, emotions. Okay, so we get to the next topic. Somebody has something to share?
Hare Krishna Mataji, I don't have anything to share, but I know... I think in my case I'm processing, and I know I'd like to read in leisure what you have written, and then all the studies you have done, so all the reports you have gathered, and so maybe I still need some time to work through that.
Yeah.
Okay, Mataji, thank you.
That's why we had a week, so that you get time to process what we have heard the previous week, so we have time over the week to about it. So yeah, please take your time and do it. Now, So far we saw, and there are many, many studies which I didn't cover over here. It was getting too much. I just thought this was enough information to get to the point that men and women have been made differently for different functions. So we understand physiologically they have been made different. Women have the organs for carrying the baby, you know, taking the right, you know, right from the embryo till the baby is born. Men don't have those organs. Now, based on that function, we've been given that particular psychological nature and physical nature so that we can take care of the bodies. I mean, this is not something that I read in any study, but something I experienced that I experienced that in my life, but I don't know about if others and if y'all felt it is true also. I saw that babies like to sleep with their mothers more and cuddle their mothers more than their dads. That's what I saw. And it's also, you know, women have soft, like, you know, even the physical body of the woman is like made softer, and, you know, something so that the baby feels comforted when it is clinging on to the mother, than the male body, which is not comforting for the baby. They don't want to be with the men, so many of them. Even like I've seen like 3-4 year olds in the night, they want to, I mean, they want to be with their dad. It's not that they don't want to be, but more often than not, they want to be more cuddling. And, you know, when they're sick or when they're not feeling well or when they're not feeling good inside emotionally, they just want to cuddle their mom. And they feel very comforted by that. So that's something also I saw. Now, there's one big thing that makes men and women different is our emotions. And, you know, a lot of studies that are made, a lot of stuff that we read on the internet, you know, so we all know women are more emotional, can experience more emotions, can understand nonverbal cues, and women can also express more emotions than men. Now, what I don't like when I read a lot about all of these studies online or when I read newspaper reports online, they show this thing as a disadvantage for women, that, oh, women, they're more emotional. They just, you know, they get lost in the feelings and the emotions of themselves and other people, and they're not able to take a decision, or they're not able to do this, and they're not able to do that. Now, I don't know how many of those studies are true about what they're not able to do, but we will see that from the eyes of Shastra. I don't want to depend on those studies for those things. But the thing is that, you know, women's ability to experience emotions, express emotions, feel another's emotions is not a disadvantage. And we will see that. Because it's not a disadvantage for the role that has been designed for her. So we will get to the role more in detail when we study the Varnashram system, the 4 social orders and 4 social classes, 4 Varnas and 4 ashramas. But just to understand it, it's not a disadvantage. Actually, it is by design. It's a very, very positive feature that has been given to the woman so that she can do her function very nicely. So now different studies showed that men and women, they experience the same amount of emotion. Some studies say that women are more likely to express their emotion. And women are also able to explain what they're feeling with greater, like, properly. They can experience, like, those things. And also, women experience greater anger in anger-eliciting situations. Like, women, or rather not experiencing, but they communicate more intense feelings of anger than men. Then women also report more intense feelings of anger and more intense feelings of anger and fear, in relationship to terrifying situations, whether it is about some animal coming in or a male, you know, stronger male who seems to be like, you know, harmful coming in. And also women, you know, just like they say yawns are contagious or diseases are contagious, you can get that from another person onto you. So women tend to mirror people's emotions also. Like, women's emotions can become similar to the emotions of the people she is surrounded by. So she's surrounded by very fearful people, she'll start experiencing fear. She's surrounded by very happy people, she'll start experiencing happiness. And this is also similar to, you know, women tend to, like we read that in a previous study of social behavior, that it's kind of linked to that. But they're from totally different, this is from Wikipedia, that study was from another book. But it's kind of linked that, you know, women can also be more prone to peer pressure. That's what we read in a previous study. And they might do what the group is doing. And so, you know, they also mirror the group's emotions. It's kind of similar how the groups affect women. And then women also have a larger range of facial expressions than men. They can show greater facial expressions than men and can express it. And also the shape of the tear glands are different. And they also have more of the hormone prolactin. Now, I'm not a doctor, but I was reading all of these things. I found it very interesting. They have more of the hormone prolactin, which is present in tear glands as adults. Now, I don't know why it is like that. That I don't know. And then girls and boys cry roughly the same amount at age 12 by age 18, but women generally cry 4 times more than men, and which could be explained by higher levels of prolactin, but that's what the studies say. Now, facial expressions, women can understand other people's facial expressions and really call out the emotions very well. And the different studies that talk about that, and you know, just by look, if you look online, there are many quizzes which will only show you pictures, like photographs of different people's eyes, and based on that, it'll ask you to tell what emotion they are feeling. And in those studies, they say that women are able to answer it much better than men. And also, women show a higher intensity. Anyway, it was about intensity of emotion. And then, men can control their expressions better than men. Like for women, it's harder to control their facial expressions. Men can do that better than men. And then again, we come back to the amygdala. This is something, amygdala, I don't know how to pronounce it, but this is something that is there in the brain. It's a particular structure in the brain that controls emotions. Now, we will combine this with what we read in the physiology, amygdala. So, it's about how women and men respond differently to emotionally triggering situations. And it is different, it's different because they've been constructed differently, right? Now, you can read this at your leisure, but the basic point is that, just 1 minute, here, I'm going back to my previous link, yeah. Now, the way that particular structure in the brain has been created, now in males, the amygdala, which basically responds to emotionally arousing information and responds to the environment and reactions with stress. So in males, the size of that particular structure is larger than in women. That also starts at the fetal development stage. That's how the brain is different when the brain is developing in the mother's womb. Now, it shows that one thing is that particular structure is larger in a man's brain, and also when there is any stress, a higher concentration of serotonin is produced in the male's amygdala. So serotonin is some kind of a hormone that is secreted to deal with stress. So in males, the amygdala is bigger, and when there is stress, because it's bigger, it naturally produces a higher concentration of serotonin. Whereas in women, the amygdala is smaller and it releases a lesser concentration of serotonin in women. So serotonin is something that regulates your emotions. Since men, it's secreted more, men are able to regulate their emotion. Like they don't go through the highs and lows so much. But in this case, stress causes a female's emotional regulation to drop, but male can keep it properly. And this was some study that was done in puppies and in rats, and they also did some of these studies in men. But mostly the study was done in rodents. But most of the studies that come up for men and women are usually coming from rats, studies of rats. So it provides a possible explanation why anxiety disorders and internalization disorders are stronger in human females than in males. Now, that was something we saw from a physical point of view. But now you also see that, you know, when women are shown very emotionally terrorizing pictures or arousing pictures, there's greater activity in the left amygdala. There's more activity over there. And then how men and women process those pictures also, they use different neural pathways also. So women tend to respond more strongly to emotionally arousing images like that. And past events and pain. Now, when past events are triggered in women, when women are asked to think about past events that made them angry, they show more activity. The limbic system, there's something called the limbic system in the brain, but that activity is completely absent in males. Is absent when they're made to talk about past events that made them angry. Men don't seem to have any activity, but women have activity. Now, in contrast, men's brains show more activity in the limbic system when asked to identify. Anyway, that's something different. And women, so it's not just, so when you're asked about past events, there's more activity in the limbic system. And also when there is pain, there is more activity in the limbic system of the woman. You know, which gives them those emotions. But in men, those parts of the brain which are more analytical show more activity when there is pain. So men tend to reason out their pain. They tend to logicalize their pain. But women tend to, you know, women experience it as an emotional thing. So women tend to have a connection between the analytical and the emotional region, which men don't have. Men just analyze the pain. Women tend to feel it. That's the difference. And again, it's a very important function, even with respect to remembering about past events. Sometimes it can mess up our lives. When we think about the past events and how somebody caused pain to us and all those things, it's like, we can really mess our lives up. But if you again look at it with respect to the function of taking care of the family and raising children, it is something that is a very, very advantageous thing, where there is greater activity with respect to past events and pain, because they're able to remember past events and what those events, how it impacted them and their children and their families more clearly. So they don't allow, they are immediately triggered when similar events happen. So they don't allow, you know, that's a way in which they protect their children and their families from such things. Now, regarding mental health, as we discussed already, because women are more emotional, they have, you know, more like the serotonin and all those things, you know. And even there's another hormone that we will discuss when we talk about the menstrual cycle, which is a CRF. We will see that. But here, basically, since women tend to have more emotional upheavals than men because of how we are structured physically, you know, so the soul in the woman's body experience, you know, goes through all of this, but the soul in the man's body does not. The currency at level is the same, though. So now, women have a higher rate of internalizing disorders because they're more emotional, so there's more anxiety and depression. You know, overall, you know, both men and women have mental health issues, but women have more of these type of disorders of anxiety and depression, whereas men tend to have more higher rates of substance abuse and antisocial disorders. You know, they'll be more alcoholics and those type of things they'll do, substance abuse and also antisocial disorders, you know, more destruction outside, cause destruction outside when there's pain inside. But women will more internalize their pain and, you know, like that. So there are some of these things. Now, another thing that influences a woman's mood is the menstrual cycle. And there are two different studies that I read about, and I have linked them in this section also. Is about how a woman's emotions change in the different three, they divided the cycle into three different parts, and they saw that how a woman's emotions change, you know, in the first part of the cycle to the middle part of the cycle to the last part of the cycle. And in the 1930s, a particular psychologist, what she did is reverse engineering. Basically, she interviewed a lot of women, and based on talking with them, and, you know, seeing, like, just talking to them and without asking them, she was able to tell which part of the menstrual cycle they were in, whether they were in the first part, the second part, or the third part. And you can read more in detail. It's over there. I want to discuss it, like, more this thing. So, therefore, you know, we experience, like, the menstrual cycles, the hormonal changes that happen can affect our moods and our emotions a whole lot. So we're all very hormonal and emotional. Because of the bodies we have been given. But it's not a disadvantage if it is dovetailed to the right function. So we will also understand that. And then also, again, this is again another study that was there on reactions to stress, sending emotions in the world. So how men and women respond to stress is different. And just like we read about the hormone serotonin, There was another one which was the sensitivity to the key stress hormone. And it said that when there are, you know, there's a stress hormone called the corticotropin releasing factor, which helps control the body's reaction to stress. Now, a woman, for her, like if you read, and again, they did this study on rats, but they're also experiencing this men. It says that the brain cells of female rats were excited by doses of corticotropin releasing factor, this particular stress hormone. And the same dose was given to the male rats, but it didn't affect the male rats as much as it affected the female rats. This is not something based on the nature, it is based on something, how the body has been made. So it shows that that particular stress hormone binds more tightly to the woman's brain cell proteins. And it therefore it remains over there and keeps the female in the stressed out condition for a longer time, and becomes more sensitive to the effect of that hormone. However, the male body, the male rat's body is made in such a way that that stress-causing hormone, the male rat's body is able to reduce the level of protein to which that hormone goes and sticks to, and it stops the hormone from binding, and therefore the effect on the brain is reduced. So again, you know, there's so many studies which show these different things. And also memory, as we already discussed this, some studies find there are no differences. Some studies find that women are able to remember better. And, you know, the brain area which stores memory is bigger in women than in men. So they are conflicted over there. But what I heard in some lectures by our senior devotees of ISKCON was that memory is tied to emotions for women, and therefore they are able to recall events better. You know, like, and therefore even if men, you know, in some... you have stronger memory of those events in which there were a lot of, they experienced a lot of emotional turmoil. And since women are already more, they experience more emotion all the time, then we are able to remember the events better in our lives. Now, you know, these are some of the differences I saw. Now, when we read these differences, and then if you read, you know, all these feminist studies that are there outside, and, you know, they just want to deny the fact that there is any difference between men and women. And, you know, here we're just talking at a physiological level, the body and the brain and the hormones, and we haven't even touched Shastra here, right? We haven't touched any bit of Shastra here. I haven't brought about any Shloka from Bhagavad or Bhagavad Gita or anything to show that men and women are different. Are they wired differently? They're made differently. There are all these different studies that show men and women are made differently and wired differently. But you have all of these feminist groups that deny that you know, those women who ask for equality for women, they completely deny that there is any difference. And to me, and to a lot of other women like all of you on this call, they're only digging a bigger hole for themselves. When you ask for equality, one thing is, why should we even ask for equality for men? I mean, why do we want to compete with anybody? So that's the first thing. And the second thing is, you know, asking for equality with men is like fitting a square peg in a round hole. You all heard that term? You try to fit something square in something that is round, if it's not properly, like the size is not proper, then it's not going to fit no matter how hard you try. Right? So men are different, women are different, and men and women are made to complement each other. When the men are designed in a rational, the more rational, systematic, don't experience emotions so much, so it affects how they make decisions. Women are more, are like, you know, more emotional, right from the physical, everything. It helps them in their role. The way men are designed, it helps them in their role, and the way women are designed, it helps them in their role. Now, if a man is supposed to ask to take care of children, like last time we discussed that if all of us are asked to go to the Sakhi planet and we're all enjoying over there, there's no women left in this world, what would the condition of the men and the younger children be? If all women older than 14 are, you know, Krishna sent us all to the Sakhi planet. And I know one of the Mataji, Durga Mataji said that it will be a terrible world. The men will not know how to take care of their children. They won't know how to take care of themselves and any of those things because they are wired differently. It doesn't make them less important or less competent than women. We are all, the point of this exercise today is to understand that we are wired differently. We've been we've been given this body, and this body has been designed for some particular functions. Now, we're not talking about, like, we're not in this debate about whether women should work or not. I mean, that is something that each family decides based on what is required for them. And it is probably necessary for a lot of women to work in this world right now. So we are not going into that debate, and we're not going to judge anybody or say any of the, that's not the point of this exercise. The point of this exercise is to understand that this body that has been given to us by Lord Sri Krishna is designed for a particular role. And the body that the men have received has been designed for a particular role. Now, many times, if you've been, most of us would have seen that, if the man of the house does not do his responsibility of what? Of taking care of the woman. I mean, protecting the woman of the house. Or even something as simple as making, of being determined enough to get up and go to work every day. And we have seen many cases where the man of the house is not determined enough to go to work every day. It's not about the amount of money that man is making. It's just about whether they're determined enough to think about going to work every day so that they can, that they want to perform the role of providing for the family. If they don't do that, it causes them to have a lot of psychological breakdown. They will have a lot more mental health issues than normal men who have the drive to get up and go to work every day. So if men don't perform their role, it not only breaks them apart, but it also impacts the family big time if men don't do their role. Similarly, women have been designed for a particular role. As we can see, Krishna's design is like that. Now, for whatever other roles we may have to do, based on whatever life demands of us, you know, which may not be, so to speak, Vedic or Shastric, you know, some of us just have to do those things. And we can't change that, and we can't do anything about it. We have to do those things. And we may think it's not what is said in the Shastra about women, but hey, you know, it's Kali Yuga, things are changing. So we must acknowledge that, you know, some of us have to go and expand beyond the traditional roles that were defined for women. Now, but the point that is being made here is that if the woman also has a particular role in society, in the family, and in relationship with her husband also. And it's similarly just like the man, if he doesn't do his role, the woman doesn't do her role, which we will discuss in detail. As Nisha had mentioned, she also wants to know what Shastra says about the role of woman. And we will discuss in detail. The woman's body is designed to do that role perfectly. And the woman doesn't do her role perfectly, not perfectly, but even doesn't attempt to do her role, tries to do her role, makes a sincere attempt to do her role and please Krishna, it causes a lot of psychological issues in the brain. We will discuss that also. And it causes a lot of impact on how the children grow, and we will discuss a lot of psychological studies on that. There are a few books I read on this particular topic also. And then, you know, just from cooking to raising the children to keeping the house beautiful and neatly organized and cleaning, and I mean, all those things, if those things don't happen, even if society does not value those things anymore, and it's considered as something that's a background function or a boring function that does not make enough money, it actually is a very important function. And we will also see how, you know, even for those people who are economically inclined, we'll see how it economically affects society. So the point of this exercise is women and men have been made completely different in a lot of ways. Some of the ways are very similar, some things are very different. And it's not to say one is better than the other. They've been made different for different roles to perform. And both of them are needed in society. You can't say, oh, women can take care of everything, oh, men can take care of everything. No, we've been built differently, we're designed differently to do different things. We are capable of doing certain things only based on the bodies we have been blessed with. And no matter how hard we try, we may not be successful in the other things because of how our bodies have been designed. So this is it for today. And next week we will discuss about this very important topic that I know a lot of you put in this in the form that I had given you all to fill out. So, you know, why are women considered less intelligent than men? And at the same time, it is said a good woman means good intelligence for the family. Good wife means good intelligence. So we will try to understand what that is and to understand that it was important to establish these particular points. I'll leave the forum open to discussion. I'm sorry I went over time. Anything anyone would like to share? Please go ahead. Nisha, you have anything?
Yeah, Madhuri, I do have a question. Actually, so from whatever discussion, from this today's session, it was quite in depth, and I do understand, though I have a background knowledge of it, that yeah, physically, physiologically, and psychologically, men and women are different. But it just today's session. Please excuse my son. It just makes me wonder that. Is it that probably men are made different because they have a set of roles to do? I feel women are made different not because there are so many roles for them. I feel the only role probably they have is in procreation, in giving birth to a human, and that's why there's so many other physical differences. Because I'm just thinking aloud from today's session, I feel that probably men are there to protect women and women are for giving birth to children,
men.
Women are there to give birth to children and men are to protect women. That's the huge thing that comes across to me. And I find, why is it I feel suddenly that probably men have more role to play than women?
I don't know. You feel like that, but there are a lot of other... So the woman's role is a very background function. Yes, the major role is to give birth to children. That's it.
Yeah.
That procreation is a very, very important part of a woman's life.
Yeah.
There are a lot of physical and psychological changes happen also, and there are studies done on that. We will cover that in the next session. Not next session, but the session after that, about, you know, what are the psychological changes a woman goes through when she gives birth to a child. How her psychology changes as a child grows, you know. She keeps her brain and psychology keeps adapting to the growing child.
Okay.
So, yes, primary function, so it's not just, you know, the Srimad Bhagavatam and the Shastra things, but all of these Western psychologists, if you read their books, they recognize that the primary function is to give birth. But that's the difference between psychology and the Shastra. So Shastra also defines a lot of other softer roles for women which are getting lost. And they go right from providing emotional encouragement to the man, right from society together, keeping the values of the society together. We've all read first chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Varna Shankara population. We will see examples from the war in Afghanistan, the war in Iraq, to understand, you know, how when the women are, you know, put in a very unclear state, like, you know, not in a fearful situation, how it impacts them and how it impacts the progeny. So it's not just the physical feature of giving birth. It's also about raising the child. It's a very, very important feature. And which is being neglected in today. I mean, I want the teacher is being neglected. All mothers are wonderful, they're taking care of the children. But if you look at a lot of newspapers and a lot of articles and a lot of books, they tend to neglect the emotional aspect of child rearing that much. You know, if you read, it depends on what you're reading. If you're reading about people promoting women in the workforce, they tend to neglect the fact that this feature of the mother just being with the child is very important. You know, providing that time, that energy, that care. You know, is very, very important. And so it's about raising that child to become a good citizen. So it's contributing not just to a physical body of a child, but it's also contributing to the future generation, and it's contributing to the future man who can do his role properly in society. It's contributing to all the brahmacharis, the sannyasis of society. It's from the woman that all those things come, those qualities come. And it's about providing encouragement to the husband. We will see from Bhagavad how different women were encouraging to their husbands and how it helped them perform their role. It's a very background function. It's like you make a pearl necklace, you have all the pearls, but you need that string to connect everything together. Now, the string is not something that is visible outside, that's not appreciated. It's only the pearls that are appreciated. I think that the men seem to have a greater role. See, the woman keeps everything together. And I don't want to, like, you know, spend a lot of time talking about that right now, but it's something that is going to come when we go in depth into understanding. You know, like the first two sessions, I'm just going with psychological studies, and you may think it's not, you know, a lot of you may think, you know, what is she doing? You're Krishna conscious. I want to hear from Bhagavad. We'll get to that, you know. Like from next week, it's going to be, you know, like in depth Shastra about understanding the role of a woman from Shastra. All those things, understanding what is Varnashram, why was Varnashram created? I mean, how many of us even understand that? Why were the four Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyasi created, you know, those particular orders created, and why there were Shudras, Brahmans, Kshatriyas, and Vaishyas created? You know, like, we're going to go in depth into that and how the entire society worked together so that each one could elevate themselves spiritually, and how women had a very important contribution to that. So we will get to that. And it's okay, the man's role and the woman's role are equally important. We're not in a battle here to see who is better. We're not feminists. Well, we're true feminists, actually, not the false pseudo feminists. You know, so we're doing this to understand, no, we're made different, so we can't just, you know, deny these differences and move on in society. That's what's happening. You know, depersonalization of, to say that, oh, we're all equal. No, women are different. Anything else anyone would like to share? Shweta Kolhatkar? Are you there? You'd like to say something on Skype? Sounds like she's not here. Kavita Madhuri, you have anything? Maybe not. Naina, last time we didn't give you a chance to speak. Would you like to speak something? Jinal, this is you joined the first night today?
Yeah, but it was a very nice session today. And I had a question related to, you told men and women are different, right? They have given roles, they have given their own different roles, like men have to do this and women have to do this, right? But nowadays, like for me, I don't work. I like to take care of my husband, take care of my house and all. I don't work. So there are many people who want me to work, but I like doing my duty more than giving sense to work. So I had a question related to that. So I am forced to do job, to work, and give less importance to the house and all. So I wanted your suggestion for that.
Yeah, hello? A lot of people are in this situation.
So yeah,
today
so
is a special day, actually, for me, personally. It's been 24th October, is 5 years since I quit my job. And when I quit my job, immediately after that, I went to India. And I felt a complete difference in the way people were perceiving me from when I used to work to when I was not working. I'm telling you, a lot of ladies in the generation, or like this generation, you know, previous generation, like my older than me, my previous generation, just lost interest in speaking with me. They were like, what do you do at home? I mean, these are people in my mother's generation, not my mother, but people in the generation of my mom. They're like, what are you doing at home? What will you do? There's no work to home. Right? And then they were like, why are you wasting your time? You wasted your education, you wasted your seat, you wasted your dad's money, blah, blah, blah. So, like, I know how you feel. You know, a lot of people told me this. After that, I don't have to listen.
Excuse me, Mataji, sorry to interrupt you. I'm not able to hear all of your words.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, in middle, one or other word is missing. So, like, it's like...
Can you hear me now?
Yeah,
okay.
Just completing the job and all.
Yeah, so anyway, when I quit my job, my son much. My social value dropped. Can you hear me now?
Yeah. I'm hearing. Yeah.
Okay. So, I know all of us have felt that pressure, and that is because even our previous generation has stopped valuing their own role as women, because the society has changed from a God-conscious society to a money-conscious society, status-conscious society. So we will, now how to answer that question is something we will cover probably in the fourth or fifth session. We have that as a part of the course. And we will also take help from each other to do that. So, you know, you are a fortunate soul who is happy to do your role and you're satisfied in that. And, there, you know, there are a lot of people who have faced that pressure and don't know how to handle it. So it's a very important feature, and we will be covering that later on. If you can hold on to that thought for a couple or three more weeks, we will do it. Yes? Anything else? Anyone would like to share?
In the meantime,
Gina, go ahead, please.
Yeah, as he told, like, people treating you differently. Same thing happens with me too when I go to India. So I don't know how to go ahead with this. Like, I have no quick answers for them.
Yeah. So you're going to India on 27th December. So we will answer this question.
Because when I say I do this, that, so they are like, don't give much importance to your house. Tell your husband to work, he'll cook, he'll help you. But I don't like my husband cooking, like cleaning the kitchen or all. So they are like, they get their stuff done, most of them get their stuff done from their husbands. And I'm totally different from them, so... Like, I have no answers for them.
We are all unique, and we must maintain our unique. If we are in line with us, nothing wrong with that. And maybe those women who are, you know, encouraging us to do those things, maybe they were not respected for what they did, and maybe they were put the pressure that you need to bring more money or whatever. You know, whatever. Maybe that's what they are giving us. You know, it all comes from some experience somebody has. It's possible. Anyway, I think Andrika wanted to share something.
No. Same thing about this only. I'm also experiencing the same thing, and I don't know how to handle that one. Everyone is degrading me actually about my profession and all. So I cannot face that. Both people, the same thing. I wanted to express this. Whatever the general is expressing, the same thing I wanted to express. That's it. Yeah.
I mean, I can give a quick answer right now. It's better if we go through the process, then we'll be able to understand it ourselves better, and, you know, then we can handle the communication part of how to deal with other people. It is a very hard spot to be in, I'm sure. Anything else from anyone? Did I miss anyone? Sudha Venkat, anything you'd like to speak, share, add?
No, Mataji, I'm just enjoying the call. I liked all the, whatever you have researched so extensively, and all the facts that you presented, appreciating the gender differences. I enjoyed that, and I'm actually looking forward to the next class. I think that's where the real thing, that's where my real interest was, from understanding the Varnashram system and the position of women in the Vedic society and stuff. So nothing more to add.
Thank you everyone for joining. And somebody was saying something, or maybe not. Thank you all for joining, and you all can read all of the points at your leisure time. There's a lot of data there, but I guess it just gets the point across, and you can look at the references also so that you can get more in-depth data from there. They have a lot more points there. I didn't take everything because I thought it would be too much. So thank you very much, and we will discuss the topic why women are considered less intelligent by Shastra, and also the opposite of Desert Shastra, why good woman means good intelligence. So we will cover that point and also start discussing Varnashram from next week. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
And thank you.